verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And the topic of my lesson or this message may sound strange when I've read that verse, but it's joy squared. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need joy squared. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads one more time. Father, we ask you, Lord, to let your words speak through me, Lord, that they will encourage, that they will bless, that they will lift up, O God. Lord, that we will receive them into good soil with understanding that it will bear fruit. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, this may sound like a strange verse to have a title, Joy Squared. But you will, if you bear with me, see what I mean. All of you know this story about how David had and his men were away, and while they were away, the Amalekites came into their city of Ziklag and took all of their families and their wealth captive and went away. And when David and his men came back, in verse 4 it says, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Those of you who have lost loved ones may understand what that feels like. Someone who is gone out of your life and may never come back. If you've lost a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, you understand that feeling of loss, of utter hopelessness, of despair, of not understanding, of not being able to cope, and just really letting it all out. This is what David and his men, when they first came to the town, expressed, because they knew the Amalekites, and they were not the kind of people to let people go. When they took captives, they either killed them or put them into slavery. So they felt the loss as if the people had died. But I wanted to tell you that this is not a sad message today. It's about restoring your joy. Do you know that you need some joy? Amen. Now, I preached a message some years ago about joy, but this is a little bit deeper, a little bit different. I want to take you a little bit deeper in understanding joy and how much you need it and how we have to have joy in our life. If you could turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 11. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, I don't know if you notice it, but there's two joys there. That's why I called it joy squared. Jesus spoke about his joy and your joy. There's two parts to joy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And you need both of them that you will be able to be victorious. When it comes to spiritual matters, there is two parts to joy. If you read this scripture again carefully, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, God is saying there's a joy that he has that has to be in you, that your joy might be fulfilled. That's why I'm talking about joy squared. Some of us, we don't have the fullness of joy. We only have a partial part of it. And that's why we go around so depressed and so hang down and so defeated. But it's time that we let the Spirit of God be inside of us, and that his joy can be full in us, that our joy can also be full. Now, what is joy? Well, it's you look up the dictionary meaning, it says delight. It says gladness. It says cheer. It even says pleasure. It says love. All those words are associated with the word joy. But probably the best way to look at joy is think of the opposites: heaviness, depression. That's the opposite of joy. You see, when David and his men came to the town, all their families had been taken, and immediately there was a spirit of heaviness. The devil will want to come and take away the things that will give you joy. He will take away your health. He will take away your finances. He may try and take away your job. He'll try and take away your peace to bring the opposite of joy, a spirit of heaviness, a spirit of depression. But we are going to stand up today against whatever the devil wants to do, and we are going to have joy in the Lord. See, there is a way to get joy, and it's right in that verse. If you read it again carefully, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, so that you might have my joy." So what we have to understand is, what were the things that Jesus had spoken to them that they might have joy? See, joy doesn't just come because we want it to. Spiritual joy comes from the Word, and it becomes from an expectation. When you expect something good to happen, you can start to have joy. And so expectation is based upon faith. When you expect something, that means you have faith that something good is about to happen. You may be on your last dime. You may have just gotten your pink slip. You may have the biggest bill you've ever faced, but you have an expectation. You can still have faith. And if you have faith and you have an expectation and you have a belief and you have a trust in God, you can have joy. You can have joy. See, the devil wants to take our joy because he knows that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If he can take away your joy, get you depressed, get you feeling hopeless, feeling that there is no way out, then he has got you half beat already. Amen? But Jesus said, listen, I'm going to give you a secret weapon. I'm going to give you some words. I'm going to speak to you some things that you might have joy, but not just my joy, but that your joy will also be made full. And so what we have to do is examine the words that Jesus spoke so that we can have that joy. In Proverbs 17 and 22, it says that it says, when you have joy, that it makes a merry or a joyful heart. You see, we cannot overcome. We cannot face this week if we're going around depressed and already half defeated. Satan is already stomping on us. He's already kicking us when we're down. We need to be able to say, with joy shall I draw from the wells of salvation, that my God is still God. Amen. He is still a deliverer. He is still a healer. He is still in my corner. He has become my salvation. See, we need to tell the devil he's a liar. Amen. You can't have my victory. You can't have my joy. You can't have my family. You can't have my health. You can't take my peace. We need to start speaking some words, because if you read it, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you." See, there's some words that go with having joy. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might. There's two parts to joy. You didn't know that? Look at this scripture. Jesus speaks about his joy being in you, that your joy might be fulfilled. We need to find out what that is speaking about. Nehemiah 8:10 says, goes on to tell us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can't have no strength if you have no joy. If you're already going around, woe is me. Oh, I'm going to have a bad week. Look at all that I'm facing. No, you got to kick the devil and say, get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. I am going to find some words that are going to get me the joy and the delight of the Lord. When you look in the Amplified version of the Bible, when it comes to joy, it says, in the Amplified version, it says, I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. You ever been around some really happy people? They're just so happy. People say it's sickening. But I like being around happy people. Who wants to be around sad and always grumbling, always whining, always complaining? Listen, we should be overflowing. We should have enough of the joy and to give, to tell people, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to defeat Satan, not only with our word, but with the joy of the Lord. Amen. See, he wants to bring heaviness. a spirit of heaviness and depression, and to put you in fear and trembling. But I want to declare to you today that Jesus has given us some words. See, he took away the family from David and his men. And when they came, being in the flesh, they're going to be just human. They felt a spirit of heaviness and depression because they thought everything was lost. Everything was finished. There was no hope for the family. But I want you to know Jesus has given us some words that can bring back joy. So in the Old Testament, you'll find the words like delight. Delight thyself in the Lord, right? That means joy. Be joyful in his command. Be joyful even when you're going through hardship, because that is the secret to the strength and the power that you will need. Because what you're doing when you have joy is you're exercising faith. Because joy is a future expectation. It means that you believe something good is about to happen. You believe that God is going to come through and deliver you. You believe in his power. You believe in his word. You're standing upon his promise. This is your test. Can you have joy? See, there was no reason for David to have joy when he came home and found all his family gone, his children gone, all his riches gone. And you know what? Then the men turned against him. They wanted to blame him for everything that had gone wrong. The devil wants you to turn against your brother and sister. And if you can find fault in them, you'll try and find it. See, that's not how you get joy. That's not how you get joy. You need to go back and understand what Jesus said. I've given you some words. That's the key. You need to go find out what the words are. And what you'll find is, he said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, then you can have joy. What is he talking about? He's talking about the promises. He's talking about the commandments, that if you will obey him, then you will have his joy. You see, when you start to obey God and stand upon his promises, you're going to give him joy. Then his joy is going to be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is how you get back joy, is just start trusting God. Start standing upon his word. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You see, we want God's joy to be upon us, his delight to be the apple of his eye. Let's go back to the verse before and see what the words were that he spoke. That's what we have to do. Otherwise, we'll have a spirit of heaviness, spirit of depression. We'll come to church and we'll be as dry when we came in, as dry when we go out, no matter if it's raining. See, you got to put down that spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise. Start worshiping God, even when you don't feel like it, even when the devil is telling you it's hopeless. It's time to get some joy back. It's time to get some joy back. Amen. The joy is not in church attendance. That's not how you get joy. It's not even in giving. That's not how you get back your joy. You have to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. It's in his word that you will get joy. Let's go back to the verse before it. John chapter 15 and verse 9. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. When you go back, you find the words that he told them that they should have joy is these words. If you don't have joy, maybe you're not abiding in his word. Maybe you haven't found out that for him to put his joy in you, you have to abide in him. Amen. That's not hard. All you have to do is get up every morning and say, Lord, I love you. What can I do for you? If you were in Sunday school, that was the question I said we should ask. Instead of asking God for stuff, we should say, God, what can I do for you today? How can I witness to somebody that your joy may be in me? Delight yourself in the Lord. What? What does the scripture say? Amen. That's how it works. That your joy may be full. He has given us the secret. He has given us the key to restoration of joy. Find out what his word. I have spoken some words that my joy may remain in you. And once my joy remains in you, then your joy will become full. To the overflowing. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't use the word joy very much, but they used delight. They use rejoice. In fact, the word joy actually from the Hebrew comes from a word that means to join together. Do you understand what it's saying? When we join together with God, that's when our joy will become full. When we're not joined with God, when we're separated from God, we can never have true joy. That's what he said, when my words abide in you, when we are joined with him by his word, then we can have joy, but only if we believe it. God has given us exceeding precious and great promises. Pick one. Meditate upon it, and you'll have joy. Let me show you, and they told me not to be short today, but I don't like preaching long messages. I want you to get it the first time. Amen? Psalms 119, verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. What he's saying is, I will have joy in your word. That's how you get joy. I will delight myself in thy commandments. See, if you want joy, you have to find out what was the words that Jesus said bring joy. He said, the words I've spoken to you, that you might have joy. It's really obedience to his word. It's really eating the word. It's really consuming the word. It's really living the word in your life will bring you joy. Because if you believe the word, you stand upon the word, you will have joy. You know why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, you may be still in the valley, but you absolutely know, you absolutely believe, you absolutely trust that there is a deliverer, there is a shepherd that is guiding you, that is keeping you, that is taking you, that is healing you, that is blessing you. See, when the words are in your mouth and in your heart, you can have joy. See, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. He took some words and he declared it, and that gave him joy even in his suffering. You'd be surprised how many times the word joy is in the book of Job. Go look it up. You know what? Job knew a secret. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He made some declarations. He took some words that God's joy would remain in him despite what was going around him. I'm telling you today, us Christians, we need to get back some joy. We used to sing a song Sunday school, if you're happy and you know it, praise God. It says your face. When you go into work, we should light up the room. Did you know that? We should be the happiest people around because we're saved, we're sanctified, we're delivered, we're blessed, we're God's child. You have something that the world does not have. I tell you what, if you got $1 million, none of you would be looking, no. What do you want? You couldn't stop your mouth from smiling, could you? You couldn't stop your mouth from smiling. You'd be so happy. People would be cussing you out. You'd be going, hello, yes, thank you, Jesus. I have the joy, 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 joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Until we get it back, first by getting his word in us, that his joy might remain, and then our joy will become full because we believe it. We trust him. We depend upon him. He cares. The Bible says he cares for you. Psalms 119, 47, I will delight myself. It means I will joy. I will have rejoice myself in thy commandments, in whatever God wants, because it's God. Because if he chooses to tell you something to direct your path, you should have joy. He's using me. He's talking to me. He's chosen me. Do you think it was a small thing for God to pick Saul or Paul to be his special apostle? Imagine if someone else was picked. Wouldn't that be an honor? Isn't it an honor to be chosen by God to carry out his commandments? Delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. See, God doesn't want just church attendance. See, we can come here and sing songs, but that's really not the joy. Because the joy, true joy, comes from his word abiding in us. In 1 Samuel 15, 22, the prophet says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying? It's in obeying his delight, his joy will be in our souls. Then we, our joy, will be made full. That word joy comes from a Hebrew word which means to join. And it really is about joining with God. He said, if my words abide in you, when we are joined with God, we can't help but have joy. Come on now. If you felt right now that the Lord was looking down on you and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If you felt right now that God was so happy with you, so delighted with you, you could stick out your chest and go, okay, heal. You could go out there, raise the dead, because you know that you have the joy of the Lord. God wants to take off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. And that it comes from being obedient to his word. David understood this in Psalm 51:12. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. Restore. Let's all say it. Restore. Unto me the joy of our salvation. If you had the joy of the salvation, you'd all be here at 9:30. Come on now. Come on now. You couldn't wait. David said the joy, the zeal of the Lord. He was at the house of the Lord when as soon as the doors were open. We need to get some joy, some zeal. As I said in Sunday school, God is looking for 100%ers. He's not looking for 99% will not do. In business, that's okay. The companies, they say, I want to be in the top 5% to be in, but that won't work for God. He wants all of you. He wants all of you so that his joy can be fully in you, that your joy can be full. And as the Amplified Version says, flowing over. So that not only you have joy, but your joy infects everyone else. That when people are around you, they say, what's the matter with you? And you say, I have the joy of the Lord. But weren't you just sick yesterday? Didn't they just fire you? That doesn't matter. I have the joy of the Lord. I have the joy of the Lord. See, your life is a witness. If you exude joy, people are going to be one around you. You won't have to say which church I'll go to, come to my church. They'll say, where are you going? What are you eating? What's in the water you're drinking? Well, that woman at the well of Sychar could say, I can tell you the water that I'm drinking. It came from a man that I met that restored my joy. And he told me that if I was to know who he was, out of my belly too would flow rivers of living. We should be overflowing. But the reason is we haven't let the Lord put his joy so that our joy can be made full. Cast me not away from thy presence, David said. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what we need, the kind of joy where we're joined to him. When we're joined to the Lord, there's no way we can be depressed or doubtful or hesitant or fearful. Because if we absolutely believe and have an expectation of deliverance at any moment, all we are doing is looking around. When is it happening, Lord? I'm ready right now. I'm expecting it any day. Your blessing is coming. It's on the way. The angel's been sent. I'm just waiting for it to show up. I just want it to materialize in the physical. It's already been done in the spiritual. You've already sent the command. I'm already standing upon your word. The greatest heaviness you bring to God is a lack of faith and trust. See, that's when we hurt God's feelings, when he said, look at how many times I have delivered you. Look at how many times I have saved you. And now you show up and say you don't trust me? That's what Israel did. Look at how many plagues I brought on Egypt. Look at what I did for you, making the Red Sea turn into dry ground, brought you through the desert, rained down food from heaven, took water from a rock, and now you come to Canaan and say, we don't know how we're going to do this. See, that's how we disappoint God. That's how we make God's spirit heavy towards us. If you want to make God be delighted, you just start trusting him. I'm going to walk out on this water. I don't know, but I believe that you've given me a word, and I'm just going to trust, and I'm just going to see. There really was no reason for Peter to get out the boat, was there? No. But he wanted to just have fun. He wanted to just do what he saw his master do. You see, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will what? I want you to say it. He will give you the desires of your heart. When it says delight, it means have joy. With joy should we be coming to church, not depressed, oh, it's Sunday morning. Why do they have church so early? Why do they go on so long? Oh, man, they're singing that song again. Didn't they just sing it last week? Where's your joy? Where's your worship? Where's your praise? I'm telling you, it's time for us to be like David. We may not have done what David did, but we all need to do Psalm 51:11. Restore. If you don't have the joy you need to pray, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. When I first got saved, when I was 100%, when I wanted to go to every church service, when I was saying, when's the next one? When can I be in church? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. There's two parts to joy. There's God's joy in you that your joy may become full. That's what Jesus said. We need to put down that garment of heaviness, that garment of depression. See, going back to the story, we see that David came and all his family had been taken, and you can expect he was in heaviness. But he knew the key that Jesus said. There's some words that can restore your joy. So you know what David did? He said, you know what? I need to get some words. I need to find out from God what's going to happen here. So you know what he did? 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. But David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, let's all say but, David encouraged himself. He said, you know what? I know a way to restore my joy. I know a way to get this situation under control. I'm going to get a word from the Lord. You see, it's a word from the Lord that is taken in is what will give you joy. So here's what David did. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. They brought the breastplate of the priest, because inside of there was the two stones where God would answer and give the answers to questions. And David inquired of, you know what's happening here? He's doing what Jesus said. I've spoken a word. He's getting a word from the Lord so he can have his joy restored. So he says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Right now my men are saying it's hopeless. These Amalekites, they don't take prisoners. Maybe they're all dead, but you know what? I still want to hear from the Lord. Until the Lord has spoken, it ain't over. Until the Lord has spoken, it's not over. I know a way that I can restore my joy. If I get the word of the Lord in me, there's going to be some joy. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake, and without fail recover all. Guess what happened when David got that word? Can you tell me what happened? He got joy. He started, he hadn't got back his family yet, but now he had a word. He had an expectation. All I have to do is follow the word of the Lord. God has promised me that I'm going to recover all. Once you get that word in you, once you have that expectation that his joy can be in you, that your joy may be full. Before, he was depressed. He was thinking about all the men are threatening him to do, but he knew how to get back his joy. He went to the word of the Lord, and the Lord told him a word, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. That's all he needed. Can you imagine that? Right then, David already saw it done. All he had to do now was obey. He already saw it done. He had his joy restored because he knew that the King of Kings, who had anointed him when he was 17, the King of Kings who had helped him slay the bear and the lion, the King of Kings who had taken one stone and slew Goliath, was the same God who was going to make a miracle happen right now and get back his family, not losing a single soul, not losing a single coin, not losing a single piece of furniture, because God had given him a word to restore his joy. Is that long enough? You can stand. Amen. Maybe you understand why I read that story at the beginning, and this is about joy. It's not how you start, it's how you end. Paul said, I got to run this race, right? Many people start running the race, but they lose their joy, they lose their motivation. They lose all the things that God had called them to. And they don't go back and get another fresh word. This is where you will get a fresh word. This is where you will get encouraged. This is where you get your feet washed by the word. 1 Samuel 30:18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. He lost absolutely zilch, zero, nada, nothing. See, when you get a word from God, it will restore you. Now, he was in joy before that happened. As soon as he got the word, all right, I know what to do now. I'm not going to ignore these men. All of you who are tired and don't want to come get your stuff, you stay here. So 200 of them stayed behind. He said, all you others, I have a word that's given me back my faith, my joy, my expectation, my deliverance. My family is coming. I don't have them yet, but I see it. Because God has assured me, surely, surely, surely. Once he believed the word of God, I believe right then David had joy. He was already dancing because he understood how this works. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Verse 19, and there was nothing lacking to them. Not even a bracelet, not a ring, not a garment, not a shoe, not a shoelace. He recovered all because he fulfilled and obeyed and understood how you get joy. You get God's word in you. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that my joy, his joy has first got to be in you, that your joy might be full, overflowing. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything. Whatever the devil's stolen from you, you can get it back. But first, you have to inquire of the Lord and get the word. And as soon as God tells you it's coming back, you can start rejoicing right then and there. You don't have to wait. You just have to obey. David had 600 men. 200 of them said, you know, we're so tired, we can't even go. David said, okay, we don't need you. We don't need you. I have a word. I have a word, and that's all I need. You know my word. Jesus said, come, come, come. As soon as Jesus says, come, I have joy. Because he's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Once you have a word from the master, you can have his joy. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that had been taken. David recovered all. For those of you who are a bit fearful, don't yet have your whole faith in God. Psalms 94:19, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. It says, when anxiety or fear was great within me, Psalms 94:19, your consolation brought joy, delight to my soul. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Remember Psalms 23? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Well, here's one of the paths. Psalms 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. See, joy means being joined. That's the root word in Hebrew. It means being joined. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. If you've lost your joy, you need Psalm 51. You need to tell the Lord, restore to me. Lord, my faith is a bit weak. I've gone through some things, and the devil has got me doubting. He's got me worried. Lord, restore to me the joy that I had, that feeling I had of oneness with you, where there was no separation, where we were like this. We were buds. We were tied. I could ask you. I could call upon your name, and you would show up. Restore to me that joy. Because God is speaking to someone today and letting you know, I'm here. I'm right here. I have a word for you. When you get that word in your heart, that my joy may be in you, then your joy will manifest. I'm done today. But I want you to know, don't let the devil depress you. Don't let him kick you and tell you it's hopeless. We need to draw from that spring of living water, that it would be such an overflow. Everybody that's around you will see the glow. Christopher preached about show enough. Well, we need that glow. We need that show enough glow. And that's the glory of God. And that comes from a joy. It's time we went and changed our buckets, patched the holes, and go to the well of salvation and start to draw it with joy. Not with depression, not with doubt, not with fear, not with anxiety. I'm closing. Altar's open. We all need, like David, to say, restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, when we have fullness of joy, that'll be evident. You can't hold that in. You can't stop that from coming out. You just can't stop it. You will have such a joy. People want to be around you. We need to have God give us of that portion of his joy, that our joy may be full. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service, but not close God's presence. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, tell God, Lord, put your word in me that I need for today. I don't know what that word is. I bet he has a word for each and every one of us. For David, it was, listen, David, surely you're going to get everything back. That's all David needed. He hadn't gotten anything back yet. He hadn't even started. But as soon as he got that word, knowing the character of David, he immediately was rejoicing. And I could tell that the soldiers around him saw it. Huh, David's looking happy. He must know something. You know what? He's always one, so I'm going to go with it. I'm going to try this time. I know it looks hopeless with these Amalekites, but David is suddenly smiling. He's suddenly putting on his armor. He looks like he means business. He's going out to war. You know what? I think I'm going to go with him. I think I'm going to... See, when you have that joy, Satan will just have to leave you alone because he looks at you and he says, I'm going to have to go after somebody else. This person's got their garment of praise on. I'm going to find someone who's just heavy laden all the time. I'm burdened. Put it down. I'm telling you today, put it down. Believe in the Lord. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe, believe, believe. I love you. And I've got a place for you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to lead you in paths of righteousness. Be joined to the Lord in joy today. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads, church, if you could pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word today, your anointing, oh God, that will break every fetter, every chain of depression, of doubt, of fear, of sickness, of financial hardship. Right now, Lord, let your word go forth, that it is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to sunder the bonds of Satan who wants to depress us, to put us down, to put us in despair. Lord, let our hearts right now, Lord, be filled with the joy of your word, to know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you have this, you've got our back, that you're going to prepare us.